And now, back to the show. Here's Jen and Truda.
Simon Pegg co-wrote and also stars in the Star Trek series with J.J. Abrams here.
And I love him from Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, two of my favorite movies. He was also a voice in Ice Age. He's in Mission Impossible. Oh. He's got a huge list.
This guy's been everywhere.
Of movies.
So I think we're getting the thumbs up that we are almost ready to talk to Simon Pegg. Before we do, let's have a clip of him as Scotty in the Star Trek series here.
Do you have any idea how ridiculous it is to hide a starship on the bottom of the ocean? We've been doing here since last night.
Scotty, it's Kirk.
Oh, well now. If isn't Captain James Tiberius Perfect here?
Do you hear that? I called him Perfect Hair.
All right, and I do believe we have the thumbs up now that Simon Pegg joins us on the show. Good morning, sir.
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Great. Thanks for talking to us. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Awesome. Dude, we are looking forward to the new Star Trek film. I'm a Trekkie. I go back a long way, so this to me is holiday time.
I like to hear that. I like to hear you're one of the faithful. It's good to know.
I am indeed, yes. And, you know, this is interesting. There are so many storylines that surround this film, I feel like. This is the third now in the series of what they call, I guess, the new timeline, I suppose. This is kind of the alternate reality version of the original characters, if you will. It's weird to explain that. I saw you in a video interview kind of explain how this is like an alternate reality version of this. How do you characterize that?
Well, in the first movie, Spock, Leonard Nimoy's Spock, came back in time and caused something to happen which changed history. You know, so it basically created an adjacent timeline to the original, which means that it's called multiverse theory, and it's actually it actually exists in physics, that there are many, 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 many realities, each one for every possible possibility there is, and it gives you the freedom to kind of start again with Star Trek without having to erase anything. You know, it's like everything happened. Spock, old Spock's history is still intact. It's just now we have a new history. And what if I can get really Star Trekky for a moment, and don't worry about this going into the movie on Friday, Spock created what's called a multi-dimensional reality shift, which means that he created a whole new reality from the Big Bang to the end of time. And so we have this new universe to play in, which is lots of fun.
Well, darn it, Spock. See what you did there. No, I was going to ask you about that real quick, because that's because you co-wrote this film in addition to starring as Scotty. And so how, first off, what was your relationship with Star Trek? And second, did you feel... you feel some ownership of this now, and were you like, wow, I really have a blank canvas to go out and just kind of play with this thing and just kind of make anew?
Yeah, I watched Star Trek from a very early age. I think the first thing I saw was the animated series. Did you ever see that?
They
animated
right.
version with the original cast. And then as I got older, like sort of 7, 8, 9, I started to watch the show, which I found very scary but fascinating. And I've had a relationship with it all my life. So to become part of it has been extraordinary. And to get the chance to write it and have a kind of blank canvas, I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. It's been really, really fun.
Well, and I just read that you got to screen this at the White House. How was the reaction to the film there?
Oh, my God, what a day. It was incredible. Chris Pine, Carl Urban, and I... we're invited to screen the movie for Michelle Obama's charity, Joining Forces, which is a lovely charity which reaches out to servicemen and women. And it was great. And we got to go around the White House, and we met Michelle, and she was lovely. And it was like Disneyland for grown-ups. It was amazing.
What did you see in the White House? Was there anything that surprised you? Or that, did you have that surreal moment of like, this is the White House?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the time. There was stuff. We walked past an archway in the sort of a part of the building where there were scorch marks. And it was from where the British tried to burn it down. And I felt a bit guilty going by. I was like, that wasn't me. That wasn't my guy. Nothing to do with Brexit. But the best moment, aside from meeting Michelle, who was just like left me, Chris, and Carl like googly-eyed, she was amazing, was we were walking down the corridor, and Bo came running up to us, the presidential dog.
Oh, yeah, right.
It was so amazing.
I take it then he's not much of a guard dog then. He's pretty welcoming.
He was just sort of trotting around. Do you know what I mean? He was just sort of owns the place. It was kind of amazing to just... I've never been starstruck by a dog before.
It's the president's dog.
Come on, you haven't come across the Queen's corgis anywhere?
I've met her, but I've never met her dogs. They're a little bit more aloof than she is.
Oh, that's... Actor Simon Pegg is on the show with us here, this morning with Jen and Trudeau. We were talking off the air. We said, okay, we're going to talk to Simon Pegg. This is a very exciting day for us because we're both big fans. And instantly we both said, Shaun of the Dead.
Yes. Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead. I've never seen you in anything that I wasn't in love with.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, Shaun of the Dead was, that was our sort of, our entry into, you know, that got us a little bit of awareness in the States and has enabled us to come over and make films with you guys. And it'll always be a very, you know, dear film to me. It's nearly, what is it? It's 13 years old, that movie. So,
oh my gosh, really?
It's kind of crazy, yeah.
But it's still one of those that anytime it's on TV, I'll stop and watch it. Doesn't matter if it's 3/4 of the way through, I always stop and watch it.
I have the same thing with, like, I think The Shawshank Redemption and, you know, Aliens. There are certain films that you do that you switch over and you think, I'll watch this now. So it's very nice to be in that category. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and you, I mean, this is amazing because I saw another interview, just kind of looking up stuff, and there was one that was headlined, you and I forget the other actor, trying to out-franchise each other. But then I'm sitting here thinking, wow, well, you're in Mission Impossible and now Star Trek. And, I mean, you have been, you know, very lucky to work in some really big franchises of these films and that go back to TV shows, et cetera. So.
Yeah, it was actually Carl Urban who plays Bones in the movie, who was also in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's just got a part in Thor Ragnarok, so he's now part of the Marvel Universe. He was in the Bourne films. We were sort of having a shameless franchise haul off.
That is great. Well, I don't want to.
I feel very lucky, though. You know, it's, I owe a lot of it to J.J. Abrams. You know, J.J. pulled me into Mission Impossible just after because he saw Shaun of the Dead and he thought, I'll get that guy. And we struck up a great friendship, and that led to me being in Star Trek and Star Wars. So I owe it all to the big J, really.
Yeah, you know what's funny? There's so his J.J.'s assistant on Star Wars, Morgan Dameron, is from Kansas City. And we
That's
just
right.
had
and
her on.
Poe Dameron is named after.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, we talked to her on the show here about a couple weeks ago. She's about to film. She's going to film a new. She's doing a new film here in Kansas City, and we talked to her about growing up here and then going off and doing that and having a character named after her in the universe of Star Wars. And that's just awesome.
That's Morgan. Honestly, it couldn't happen to a nicer girl. She's amazing, and I know she's sort of like she's off to do her own stuff now, and everybody's So rooting for her. She's a great, great kid, and I'm excited to hear she was on the show. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. We encounter it all. Simon Pegg here on the show with Jen and Trudeau. Star Trek, by the way, we just sent people to the marathon. We showed all three of them back to back to back. Star Trek Into Darkness, and then Beyond. So hopefully people really enjoyed that.
That would be a hell of a butt-numathon.
It is kind of a butt-numathon, isn't it? Not to get too depressing, obviously, you know, one of the timeline or one of the storylines that kind of surrounds this film, of course, the last film of Anton Yelchin and everybody, you know, our sympathies to you guys and the cast. I mean, that's going to be a hard thing now to see this work and kind of reflect upon his life as an actor and one of the great up and coming stars of Hollywood.
Yeah, we're heartbroken. There aren't any words to describe it. And none of us have really fully come to terms with it yet. I was, when I watched the movie, I was worried that it would just be a very sad affair, but to see him up there just being brilliant and being him and being alive made me realize that he's going to be around forever, you know, and in all his work that he's done. He had an incredible body of work for such a young guy. He was only 27, and, you know, we love him and we miss him so much, and I hope that when people see the movie this weekend, they go there with a feeling of celebration rather than sadness. You know, it doesn't make any sense. I feel for anyone who's lost anybody prematurely or in circumstances which defy explanation. It's a pain that you can't measure. So, you know, we're just trying to move ahead, really.
Yeah. Good words. Simon Pegg, best of wishes. Congratulations on the new film, Star Trek Beyond, in theaters on Friday. We appreciate the time, sir. And hopefully chat with you down the road. You bet.
Thank you. Bye.
This show with Jen and Trudeau
on KC 102.1.